Good morning. As he said, my name is Matt Coyle. I'm from the Rock Church of the Quad Cities. I'm honored to be here. I want to say a special thank you to the Houston family who hosted us last night, welcomed us with a great meal, had some good laughs, and just enjoyed your company sitting and getting to know you guys. I learned something about myself yesterday. I always seemed to think that I was kind of a nice guy, and then I got stuck in Chicago traffic. Apparently, there's still a lot of work that the Lord is doing in me. I have not arrived yet. I'm not taking a phone call. I have actually made a little addition to what I originally prepared here this morning, and it's not in my computer yet. So I'm going to start off on my phone, and then we'll transition over to that. This is a little out of character for me. I have preached, this will be my eighth time ever preaching. And so generally, I will put together a bunch of information, get some material together, and I will not stray from that material. But as we know, it's Father's Day, and I want to spend a little time looking at God as Father this morning here. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, we're told, "Behold what manner of love our Father has given unto us, that we should be called the children of God." And I think we gloss over that. We don't give that as much attention as what it really deserves. That's a big deal. You know, this is kind of a poor example, but you think about the president, right? His son or his daughter, like everywhere they go, they have protection, they have provision. They're under this umbrella of their father's presidency, right? Well, my dad can beat up your dad, right? Like the buck stops here. There's no higher authority than our heavenly Father. And so it's a big deal. Lost my spot here in, have another passage. Ephesians, there we go. Ephesians 1, verse 5, we're told that we have been predestined for adoption through, as children, through Jesus Christ to himself, to the Father, through Jesus, according to the good pleasures of his will. He chose us, and it pleased him to do so. You know, there's a story of a young kid who was adopted, and the biological children of this family would make fun of him, say, you know, they're not really your parents. You know, you were adopted. And this went on for some years, and one day this kid just kind of got a smile on his face. He said, "Yeah, but the thing is they chose me. They got stuck with you." See, and that's just it when you think about it. Like, it's not like God was running out of options. Like, he chose us. He chose you as a son or a daughter of the Most High God. It's powerful, guys. And so, one thing. So, as a loving father who wants to see your children succeed, you want to see them do good in life, there's a few things that you will do for your children. One of them is you will put into place some guidelines, some rules, some things to make sure that they're safe because you love them. And the Father has done that for us. He gave us his word. He gave us precepts and laws and guidelines to live within because he loves us. And he knows the consequences and the destruction of going outside those boundaries that he set for us. And then another thing that a good father will do is he will prepare his children. He will equip his children for life coming on. I'm going to hand this off because it's heavy. And our Father has done that in two ways. One is the Holy Spirit. And that's another thing that I don't think we give enough weight to. Like, we are endowed with the very presence of God. If you look at Jesus's ministry, right, he never performed a miracle before the Holy Spirit descended on him, right? And I know you think that's kind of irrelevant because Jesus was God, but it is relevant because when Jesus came as a man, he set aside his deity. It's not like when Mary said, "Jesus, clean your room," he did it supernaturally. He had to go in there and clean his room, right? And so It wasn't until after he was baptized by John the Baptist and the Spirit in the shape of a dove descended on him, then he started performing miracles and turning water into wine and healing the blind and all these things, because he submitted himself as a man to the authority and the power of the other two persons of the Trinity. And I say all that to say that it's that same Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. It's that same Holy Spirit that was in Peter when he healed the lame man next to the beautiful gate. It's that same Spirit that lives in us, that empowered Jesus to perform miracles. That's also very powerful. And then the last way that our Father equips us is through the body of Christ. And so I'm going to have you stand for the reading of the scripture here real quick. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 through 20. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. There's Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. And if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that wouldn't make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that wouldn't make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, then where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, then where would the body be? As is, there are many parts, yet one body. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your presence here today. I thank you for your Spirit that's among us and enlightening your scripture to our hearts, Lord. Lord, I pray that you will take every word that I say, make it your own, and deposit them into the hearts of those that are here and listening. And Lord, I pray above all that everything that we do and say here today would bring you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and be seated. So, of course, as you've gathered, we're going to discuss the body of Christ this morning. And one of the things that absolutely amazes me about this subject is that he included us at all. It's not like he's in need of assistance managing things, but it pleased him to include us in his plan. Not only his plan for our lives, but the plan for the lives of those around us. It's a privilege. There's honor in that. And I think it should be approached with a certain amount of reverence for an almighty God who condescends in order to have a relationship with his creation. And one of the ways that he does that is he has made us co-laborers with himself as his body. Minor change here. All right. Sorry, guys. All right. So I've got 3 points here this morning, and the first of which is unity in the body of Christ. We're just going to reread those first two verses there, 12 and 13. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all of the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit all were baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. You know, something you guys don't know about me is I spent 17 years of my life in drug addiction. From the age of 13 to 30, to be precise. I spent 17 years of my life in that lifestyle and just engulfed in everything that comes along with it. And so it's kind of needless for me to say that I wasn't exactly what you might consider church folk. But see, because of that, a scripture that's near and dear to my heart is 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Paul says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous," it's verse 9 and 10, "or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor the idolater, nor the adulterer, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." And by this point, I'm feeling a little sad about myself. Like Paul, you've missed me with just a couple of those in that list. But see, there's verse 11. "And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." You see, the point is I'm not up here because I'm qualified. See, much like a young shepherd boy with a rock and a slingshot, it has nothing to do with my expertise and everything to do with the grace and the power of a loving Father in heaven. He chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise, and for that I'm so grateful. See, the cross levels the playing field. One of the most beautiful things to me about the cross is that it brings together some of the most unlikely of people. Whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, if you own your own business or if you're unemployed, it doesn't matter here. God's not a respecter of people. And as a fallen race, I think we tend to click up. We have our own preferred brand of people. And then everybody else, we just want to hold out here at an arm's reach. In the meantime, Jesus died for the sins of the world, not excluding anybody. And so do we love our neighbors as ourselves or just the cool ones? See, most folks in this room I never would have met. Likely never spoke a word to, but we came here this morning and met under the foot of the cross. We don't know each other, but we came to the same place at the same time of the same mind to lift up our praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because he alone is worthy. We came to drink that same spirit, and it's that spirit that unites us all in Christ. You see, I confess that I love Jesus Christ, and I'm convinced that if you're here this morning still listening to me, you must love Jesus Christ. And if that's all we have in common, that's enough. That's a firm foundation that we can build on. Let's do life together. See, and I say it that way because this isn't just about ministry and making sure that this service runs all nice and smoothly. Though it is those things, it's so much more than that. The body isn't just the body on Sunday, but on Monday and Tuesday and all week long. And so if you're here and maybe you're struggling, be it with sin, or if you're just going through a rough time in life right now, like, I get it, it happens. But if you're doing it alone, you've completely missed the point. But I don't want to burden anybody. Well, guess what? If you will read scriptures, we're told to bear each other's burdens. We're not given that option to turn our head. As we have a responsibility to one another. As much as it is our responsibility to help bear those burdens, it's also our responsibility to share those burdens and help, and let the body be the body of Christ. Romans 12, verses 4 and 5. Here Paul's talking to the body in Rome, obviously, and he says, "For as one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Get a drink here. Listen to that language. See, this doesn't sound like an impersonal membership here. Individually, I'm an individual. You're an individual, members one of another, like I'm your smelly foot and you're my arm. Like, this language more than suggests that we belong one to another. See, because when we enter relationship with Jesus, we enter relationship with everyone else in relationship with Jesus as well. So ask yourself, are you in Christ? Does it look the way the Bible says that it should look? Are you a functioning member of the body of Christ, or do you prefer to come and go, and in the words of our culture, just do you? Before I get too far into this, though, I want to be clear about something. When I ask the question, are you in Christ, I'm not asking you to question your salvation. See, when we study the New Testament, it's more than clear that there's more to a life in Christ than just the assurance that you're going to go to heaven when you die. See, of course, that's part of it. Can you still go to heaven outside of community and outside of the body? I mean, I guess. But if someone gives you a Ferrari, you can wait until you're 80 to drive it too. But you're going to miss out on so much that's intended to bless you. See, God designed our salvation in such a way that we don't have to wait until we die to experience His presence. See, we get a taste of heaven right here, right now, on this side of eternity, within the community, in the body of Christ. Why would you wait? So, I'm not asking you to question your salvation, but does your life look the way the Bible tells us a life in Christ should look? Well, back to our passage, verses 14 through 18. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. And if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that wouldn't make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose. And to my second point, there's importance in diversity within the body of Christ. You know, another one of our fallen tendencies is we like to start compare my gifts to your strengths, my gifts to your gifts, my strengths to your strengths. And nothing good ever really comes out of that. We start judging one another, start sowing division. But I think a more subtle and very common effect of comparison is it starts to stir up insecurities inside ourselves. A prime example of that is if my pastor, Josiah, wasn't such a good preacher, when I first started doing this, I wouldn't have been half as nervous as what I was going into it. Now tell me, how come his strength constitutes for my insecurity? See, because I struggle with comparing myself just as much as the next guy. Hey, I'm not preaching down to anyone. I'm sitting right beside you in this. I just happen to be standing up here today. And listen, no matter how good a person is, when we make that decision to compare ourselves to another human being, you're selling yourself short. Are you in Christ? Because if you are, your only standard is Jesus Christ Himself, to live as He lived, to walk as He walked. In anything else, you're lowering your standards. And so this mind frame of, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that comes from putting entirely too much emphasis on one member. It comes from viewing one as being more important than all of the others, and it's just not the case. We're different in purpose, but not in importance. Like, I wish I could sing, but I promise none of you want to hear that. It's just not my gift. See, if everyone was a preacher, then who's going to host? Right. Or if everyone was a host, then who's up here leading worship? And then come Sunday morning, if everybody's in here practicing for worship, who's making coffee? I need coffee. Not as much as I need Jesus, but I need coffee. It is a crucial part of my Sunday morning experience. Verse 18, but as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. You were God ordained for the position that you're functioning from in your church, and don't ever make light of that. The church needs you. You're important to the body. God clearly intended for us to need one another. You notice he didn't make any one person fully self-efficient. You know, not everyone's a mechanic. But when your car breaks down, you're a lot happier of a person if you're friends with one. And that's kind of the point. That's how this whole thing works. Like, your gifting and your strength, it's not for you, it's for the body. And then when you're weak in some area, another member who's strong in that area steps in, picks up where you left off, and now in unity, the body lacks nothing. In Philippians 2, verse 2, if you have your Bible, you can turn there. And as you are, I've got a silly illustration, but I have to preface it with, this is only an illustration. So I woke up this morning and I had laid on my right arm for most of the night. And so when I went to sit up and push up off of this arm, it just laid there tingling and stuff. Everybody knows that feeling. But I was able to get set up. But I don't know if you've ever done a sit-up while you had to pee before, but it is a pretty intense experience. So because this arm decided it wanted to sleep in this morning, the rest of the members had to work a little bit harder. But that's not the end of this story. See, I get both feet on the floor, and I get ready to get up and head to the restroom. And for whatever reason, my feet aren't getting along today. And so one goes this way, one goes that way. And now, tragically, not only am I in a lot of pain, but I have just peed my pants. Now, again, that was only an illustration. I didn't really pee my pants this morning. I'm going to be really bummed out if that's all you get out of this message. I'm just saying. So what happened? The members of the body were not all functioning of the same mind. Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others, having this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ? Does your life look like this? Can we clearly see Jesus Christ in your life according to this description? Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to your own interests, but also to the interest of others. Having this mind among yourselves, which is yours. It doesn't say you can go find it somewhere. It is yours in Christ. Being in full accord and of one mind. Well, what is this one mind? And to my final point, the primary purpose of the body of Christ. And I think 1 Corinthians 10:31 says it the best, that whether you eat or you drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of the Lord. You see, the purpose of the body is to bring glory to its head. We all like to be praised. It feels good to be told, you know, just how awesome we are. And if we're not careful, that becomes our drive. It slowly becomes all about me and my glory. And so I just kind of look like a star among my peers. And guys, the only thing good in me is Jesus. Every good and perfect gift is from above. And Paul asked the Corinthians prior to this, what do you have that you did not receive? And if you received it, why do you boast as if you didn't? See, all of our strengths, all of our talents are gifts straight from God, and they're intended for His glory. I absolutely love the Westminster's Catechism here. It says, what is the chief end of man but to glorify God and enjoy Him forever? The purpose of the body is to glorify Christ, who is the head of the church. Ephesians 5, 23, man, I just got thirsty. Here. Ephesians 5, 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. See, the church lives because He lives. If you lose a leg, you're gonna make it. The quality of life goes down significantly, but you're probably gonna make it. But if the body is ever separated from its head, it's over. John 15, verse 4, Jesus is speaking to His disciples here. He says, abide in Me and I in you. And as the branches cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in Me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in Me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from Me, you can do nothing. Are you in Christ? Is that where you abide? Is that where you turn to for direction? As his body, under the umbrella of His headship, we need to be asking, what is His will for this body? What is His will for you as an individual member of His body? See, we don't act independently from the body. Let me be clear. I'm not saying you don't have personal lives, but I think all too often we forget that we represent Jesus in all of our endeavors, not just when we want to. It isn't about what I want or what you want. It's what He wants. What is His will for His church? You know, the scene in Gethsemane, it's just so powerful to me. So much so, out of 8 messages, this would be the 4th one it's made it into. I can't get over it. It's when the Son says to the Father, not My will, but Thine be done. See, in that moment, Jesus's full humanity is on display. If there be any other way, let this cup pass from Me, but not My will, but Thine be done. See, guys, this was important too. This wasn't what's going to happen to the old chairs. This was, I'm going to be stripped naked and beaten beyond recognition. I'm going to be hung on a cross, mocked, beaten, and Father, I'm innocent. But not My will, but Yours be done. And let this part sink in, and it's the part that gets me the most, is yeah, He did it for us. But see, more importantly, He did it for Him because He wants us with Him in eternity. He did it to include us in His life. Let's be sure we're including Him in ours. You know, I said it at the beginning that it amazes me that He includes us at all. God Almighty created heaven and earth from nothing. Guys, I don't even know what nothing is. He made us to be His body. He not only wants us a part of him, but so involved in his design that he sees fit to send his own spirit. The very spirit of God comes and rests inside of us and endows us with giftings and strength so that we even have the ability to function as his body. Now, I ask the question throughout this, are you in Christ? That phrase appears 180 times in the New Testament, and from what I can see, by and large, most of them fit into one of these two categories. There's promises. Promises like he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We're told about an inheritance in Christ. We're told that there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. These are promises that are only ours in Christ. And then there's identity. We're called chosen and saints. We're called his children, and we're called the body of Christ. See, part of our identity in Christ is wrapped up in community, hidden away in his purpose for us within his body. See, in Christ, we're called to something bigger than us. The body of Christ is supernatural. He's God. He can't be anything less. His divine spirit equips us supernaturally to function in our giftings. You want proof of that? I'm preaching. You know, a drug addict of 17 years stands in front of a congregation preaching the word of God. That is a pretty good indicator that something supernatural is taking place. Why wouldn't you want to be a part of that? Band, you can go ahead and come up. You're missing out on such a big part of what God has in store for your life. When you pour out into the body and then the body's pouring back into you, there's this sense of completeness that you can't find anywhere else. There's a completeness that can only be found in Christ.